This morning we took a look at the glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ and just thought about a number of things related to the resurrection of Christ, the importance of it, the significance of it, what the resurrection meant for the Lord Jesus, what his body was like. And so we looked at a few passages of scripture that related to that. But what I thought we would do this evening is to take a more general look at the topic of resurrection and see if there's some other things that we can learn about resurrection and maybe specifically related to us. We noted for this morning that if the cross was all there was, Christ would only have been a martyr, not a savior, right? If the cross was all there was, Christ would only have been a martyr and not a savior. But the gospel is not just about the death of Christ for our sins, according to the scriptures, but also his burial and his resurrection from the dead on the third day, according to the scriptures. And where do you find that? 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. It's the gospel message. Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. He was buried, indicating that he really did die, and then that he rose again from the dead on the third day. Never forget the third day that he talks about here. And it will not do to say, okay, the third day, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's not the way that it really works. And we've talked about that before. May make mention of it again tonight. We'll see how the timing goes. So we're going to give some thought to the subject of resurrection in a general way, specifically Christ and then our own as believers in Christ. So first of all, the meaning of resurrection. The Greek word is Anastasis. Anastasis. It literally means a raising up or a standing up again. Ana, the prefix, means again. Stasis has to do with the stand. So Anastasis, translated as resurrection, means a rising up or a standing up again. In our context, it means a rising from the dead. And we talked a little bit about what resurrection was and what it isn't this morning. It's not resuscitation. Resurrection is not reincarnation. Resurrection is not just simply a spiritual experience, but rather is a full physical bodily resurrection that Jesus had, which is different than the ones that he rose from the dead. We'll talk about that as well. But the word literally means a rising up or a standing up again. The term resurrection occurs 41 times, all of them in the New Testament, which is interesting. Most occurrences are about the resurrection of Christ, but some of the references do deal with the general subject of resurrection or rising from the dead. So in Revelation chapter 20, verses 5 and 6, we do find an interesting expression. So I'll have you turn to Revelation 20 and we'll look at this. We'll be looking at a few other passages as well. Revelation chapter 20, and then verse 5 and 6 says, this is in the context of Christ establishing his millennial kingdom and then the great white throne judgment, which was right there in the same context. So 5 and 6 say, "But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So note the little expression, first resurrection. This is a first resurrection. What does that mean? Well, to help us understand the expression, perhaps a few other references will help. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 to 23, 1 Corinthians 15, 20 to 23 says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming." So from this scripture we can understand that Christ's resurrection was the first of its kind. He is the first fruits of them that slept. The first fruit, even in the Old Testament time of feast, the first fruit was always a promise that there was more to come, right? When the Israelites brought first fruits of their harvest to the Lord, it was always at the beginning of harvest season, and it was a promise that they were going to collect the rest of the harvest on into the months that were ahead of them. So first fruit was a promise that more was to come. Those of us who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ through faith will also enjoy resurrection like unto Christ's. Right? 1 John chapter 3 talks about when we see him, we will be like him because we'll see him as he is. And our bodies will be like the Lord Jesus in his resurrection body. So first resurrection is a kind of resurrection. The kind that begins with Christ and all that related to him in terms of resurrection, his resurrection, and follows after him for those who are saved. Right? So it's a kind of resurrection. We will have the distinct privilege of participating in first resurrection as Christians. Also, Jesus said in John 14, verse 19, "Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also." Okay? So this is first resurrection, a kind of resurrection. It's the resurrection of Christ and of those who are his. This expression also implies that there is another kind of resurrection, right? If this is first resurrection, we may think, well, is there a second resurrection? Well, there is no expression like second resurrection in the scriptures, but listen to what Jesus said in John 5, 28 to 29. He said, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Also in Luke 14, verse 14, Jesus said, "And thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just." So we're jumping into the middle of a context there, but I just wanted you to see that expression, the resurrection of the just. So from these several verses, we can conclude that first resurrection is a kind of resurrection, a kind that follows the resurrection of Christ. It is a resurrection of the just, a resurrection of life, right? And those who belong to the Lord Jesus will participate in this first resurrection, the resurrection of the just, the resurrection of life. But the other kind of resurrection is the resurrection of damnation. according to Jesus in John 5, 28 and 29. The resurrection of damnation. So that all who have ever lived, and we say anymore, all who have ever been conceived, because that's the beginning of life here on earth, all who has ever been conceived will be resurrected. That's a lot of people. They say we have some 8 billion people in the world today. Bill Gates is trying to lower that number and lower the population numbers these days through his vaccines and other things, which may or may not be true. I don't know. But that's what's reported of him. Because, you know, the food source is only limited to take care of a certain number of people. So, and you know that during the tribulation period, hundreds and thousands, perhaps millions of people are going to die because of God's judgments that are coming. So maybe he'll be happy during that time. I don't know. So resurrection to damnation means that all of those who have never been saved, they've never believed God, they've never trusted him or in the Lord Jesus in our dispensation, they will be raised, but their resurrection is one to damnation. Every Christian, those who are in Christ from the beginning of the church to the rapture, every Christian, we will participate in first resurrection. All of the Old Testament saints will also likewise participate in first resurrection. We believe that the Old Testament saints will be raised back to life to just before the millennium so that they can enter into the millennium with the Lord Jesus. And even the tribulation saints, yes, there will be people saved during the 7-year tribulation. They also, believers then, will participate in first resurrection. So, once again, first resurrection is a kind of resurrection. It's a resurrection to life. It's a resurrection of the just. There's another interesting phrase in Revelation 20 in verse 6. It says, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part of the first resurrection." Okay. "On such the second death hath no power. But they who are part of the first resurrection shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So the interesting phrase here is second death. What does that mean? What is the second death? Well, look at Revelation 20, verses 11 to 15, which says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." Notice the next phrase. "This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." The lake of fire is what? Second death. The second death. So all the dead in hell and anywhere else, they have died physically. And the second death is the lake of fire in which they will die, be separated from God. Eternally and spiritually. So we take note that the second death is the lake of fire. All the unsaved, the lost, the wicked who are today in hell will be cast into the lake of fire after the great white throne judgment. Awful situation for them. We should not gloat or be glad about that, but we should be sorrowful and I think do what we can to help others know what the truth is. Whether they believe or not is another story. So the second death, whoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So the following little script that we've said before, I think, is absolutely true. If you are born twice, that is, born physically and then born again spiritually, if you are born twice, you will only die once. That is, physically. And maybe not even so if the rapture should happen in the time that we are alive. But if you are born once, that is, physically, you will die twice. Right? Physically as well as spiritually in the lake of fire judgment. So if you're born twice, you'll die only once. If you're only born once, you will die twice. I hope that makes sense to you. I think it's a truth we need to acknowledge. Now let me throw out another thing for your consideration. During the time that Christ was on earth, he raised several people from the dead. Talked a little bit about this morning. The best known, of course, is Lazarus, who had died and was in the sepulcher for 4 days. And Jesus, when he finally got down to Bethany, where Lazarus, Mary, and Martha lived, asked to be taken to the tomb. They took him. The shortest verse in all of the scriptures is John 11:35, which says, Jesus wept, right? And there's lots of opinions as to what that all meant. I think the best one is that Jesus wept because he knew exactly where Lazarus was. For 4 days, he was in paradise, Abraham's bosom. What a blessed place that was for him. And yet Jesus was going to bring him back into this old sin-cursed earth once again. And that was cause for some tears. Jesus wept because poor old Lazarus is going to come back to the same old body he had. He'll have to die again at some other point in time. So how lousy is that for Lazarus? And no wonder Jesus wept. But that is the example. So the classic example, it wasn't a resurrection for Lazarus. It was just simply a resuscitation of his body back to the same old body he had before he died, and that in which was would require him to die all over again. But when Christ rose from the dead, he rose in a glorified body. We looked at some of that this morning, a body of flesh and bone, he said, no blood in the new glorified body that he had. In Luke 24, verse 39, we read, "Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have." We know that Christ could appear and disappear in a moment, with doors and windows locked and closed and barred. He could conceal his person such that people who knew him in his earthly life would not realize that it was him until he opened his eyes, their eyes, to see him. This was a glorified body. And Christ ascended back into heaven in Acts, recorded in Acts 1, verses 9 through 11, in that body, the glorified body, a body fit for heaven, for eternity, and for space travel. I think it was an interesting visual aid for the apostles as they watched him slowly ascend up into the heavens until the clouds covered him from sight. I mean, he could have disappeared. He could have left just like that, right? But I think he wanted his apostles to see him go so that they would have that visual aid in their mind. And this is what we will enjoy someday in our resurrected body, a body that will be no more susceptible to death, let alone sickness or disease, we will be perfect like the Lord Jesus. So once again, Lazarus coming back to life was not really a resurrection, but rather a resuscitation. Lazarus coming back to life was not a first resurrection. That would have to wait for another time. What the situation with Lazarus obviously points out is that Jesus had power to give life, to restore life. And if he can do that, then he can give us eternal life and give us participation in first resurrection whenever that takes place because of our faith in him. So that's a little bit about resurrection. Anastasis, simply to come back to stand up once again, to come back to life. The importance of the resurrection, touched on this a little bit this morning, but turn to 1 Corinthians 15. What do you know about 1 Corinthians 15? Classic chapter on resurrection, right? Resurrection generally, not specifically the resurrection of Christ, but generally about resurrection. So the importance of resurrection, in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 through 26, you can just scan over those verses if you like. Here in these verses, the Apostle Paul reflects on the significance of resurrection. What would be true if there was no resurrection? Well, you can read in verses 13 to 19 a number of things. He says, for example, in verse 13, "But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen?" Right? If there's no such thing as a resurrection from the dead, that when you die, that's it. You die and everything's over. No life after death, no existence after death. You just go out of existence. If there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? How awful would that be? "And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. And then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable," most to be pitied, in other words. So if there is no resurrection, all of those things would be true. And then, in a most clear and definitive declaration, Paul says in verse 20, first word, "but now," and we may comment about the word "but" as well. So verse 20, "but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." Christ is risen from the dead. It's a truth and a reality that cannot be denied. When Christ rose from the dead, there were many, many people who were eyewitnesses of him after his resurrection. And so it cannot be denied. It cannot be declared untrue. Everything that would be true if there was no resurrection, verses 13 to 19, now gets turned on its head, and the very opposite is true because of Christ's resurrection. And so we can say that our preaching's not in vain, your faith is not in vain, the dead in Christ are not perished, they're just kind of waiting until the day of resurrection will come for them. And if only in this, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Well, because of resurrection and Christ's resurrection, we have hope. Hope for now, hope for the future, hope for eternity. We are not miserable people, but rather we have great hope. and joy and gladness because of what Christ has done for us. Moving quickly along here, the talk about the timing of resurrection. The timing of resurrection. When will first resurrection take place? When will it take place? Well, if you're still in 1 Corinthians 15, drop down to verse 50, where Paul says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be, what? Changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. What other passage of scripture do you know that talks about that? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18, which talks about the rapture of the church. The dead in Christ will rise first. And then Paul says, we who are alive and remain will be caught up, that's the word rapture, will be caught up with them to meet the Lord in the clouds of the air, and thus shall we ever be with the Lord. So in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, remember there's the voice of Christ, there's the voice of the archangel, shout of the archangel, and the trump calling us up to meet him. That's 1 Corinthians 14. 14. So in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the great day of resurrection is the day of the rapture of the church of Jesus Christ. Our resurrection will take place at that time. If we have passed away physically, then we will be called up. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Our bodies will be changed in the twinkling of an eye, fit for heaven and eternity. And if we happen to be alive at that particular moment in time, then in the process of going from here to meet the Lord in the clouds of the air, our bodies will be changed as well. Twinkling of an eye, that's pretty quick. Nobody is going to view bodies floating up into the air. They're just going to disappear, right? Twinkling of an eye, and we'll be with the Lord forever. So either we will be part of the dead in Christ that are raised to meet Christ in the air, or we will be part of the living who have our bodies changed in the twinkling of an eye as we meet the Lord in the air too. And how sad it is that there are some who do not believe in resurrection. Even in Jesus' day, there were some who did not believe in resurrection. The Sadducees, remember the Sadducees? They didn't believe in resurrection. They didn't believe in angels or anything. That's what made them sad, you see. So the Sadducees in Jesus' day did not believe in resurrection. Or those who mocked the doctrine of resurrection, as some in the crowd on Mars Hill when Paul preached there and mentioned about the raising of Christ from the dead. That's Acts chapter 15, if you want to read through that. But we know from the Word of God that it is essential for us to believe in resurrection, particularly in the resurrection of Christ. And we believe that the follow-up to his resurrection, first fruits, is that all of us who have believed in him will also participate in resurrection. So if we would be saved, we have to believe that truth. It's part of the gospel message, right? Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, was buried, and he rose again from the dead on the third day, according to the scriptures. Peter puts it this way in 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. A lively hope that we have because we have believed in Christ and his resurrection. So, if you have believed God's word and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, then you have eternal life. That's the promise of the gospel. And Jesus said, because I live, you will live also. And that will require a resurrection of the body. So, a wonderful gift from God. We believe it to be true. I can hardly wait till that for that experience and for that thing to happen. And we know that in God's time it will be perfect when it does take place, and we will get to see him face to face. Any comments, questions about any of this? We seem to always talk about resurrection at Easter time when we should acknowledge it throughout the course of the year. It's so vital to our faith and to our life and living today. Well, let's have a word of prayer, and then we will be dismissed. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to sing praises to your name, to worship you. We trust that you have been pleased with that which we have done tonight. Thank you also for our time in the Word, and thank you for how clear the Scriptures are as we compare Scripture with Scripture to see what you have planned out for all of those who love you, and even for those who don't, who will be resurrected unto damnation. We just thank you for the truth that you have given to us in your word that we can clearly see, and we pray that you might put upon our hearts the needs of those who have not ever yet believed the gospel of Jesus Christ. May we have opportunity to be good witnesses for the Lord Jesus wherever we are, to whomever you bring across our pathway. Thank you for tonight. I pray that you will bless each one that is here, that you will go before us into the rest of this week, and guide and direct in our footsteps, we ask. Dismiss us then this evening with your blessing. Watch over us until we meet again, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.